You're listening to Diversonomics, a Gowling WLG podcast.
Welcome to Diversonomics, the podcast about diversity and inclusion from Gowling WLG. I'm your co-host, Roberto Alberto, practicing in municipal law.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah Willis, practicing in commercial litigation and professional liability. We are absolutely thrilled to welcome today Barry Matthews, who is the Director of Legal Affairs and Third-Party Sales at ITV in the UK. Barry is one of the leaders of the Legal Social Mobility Partnership, LSMP, which is a volunteer-led organization dedicated to broadening access to the solicitor profession in the UK by providing opportunities to young people who would not otherwise have had access to the legal world. We are delighted to welcome Barry, and we look very forward to discussing this fantastic and much-needed initiative with him today. Welcome, Barry.
Hi, lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
And Barry, thanks so much for taking the time. I know Lorna Gavin that we had on last season, she was in Canada recently as we continue to share our diversity initiatives with our UK friends at Gowling WLG. And I had a chance to hear a bit about this initiative from you recently. I understand that that the partnership was awarded the CSR Program of the Year in 2016 through the Legal Business Award. So congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
Can you please tell our listeners a little bit about the LSMP and its mandate?
Sure. So the Legal Social Mobility Partnership was devised in 2014. It came off the back of a scheme that I created with Slaughter and May in 2013. In that there was already quite a long history of private practice law firms offering a week's worth of a work experience for kids who wouldn't necessarily have the ability to access our world. And broadly, that had been done under the banner of an organisation called Prime. And Prime was an initiative set up by David Morley at A&O probably 5 or 6 years back. And what Prime effectively is a set of standards. And in those standards, it stipulates that X number of places will be devoted to students from disadvantaged backgrounds when it comes to work experience. When those kids come on work experience, they're given quality tasks to do. They're not simply sat there watching people work. And that work experience will last at least a week. And then beyond that, there's an aftercare. So broadly, it's some mentoring scheme or something of that like. Again, so Slaughter and May had signed up to that commitment. And off the back of that, they got the ability to deem their scheme a prime certified scheme. So prime is effectively like a kite mark. So Slaughter and May had a scheme that was running with a school in North London. We as an in-house legal team, I wanted to get ourselves involved in something similar. But I think what comes up for many in-house counsel is that we don't have a dedicated CSR team focused on legal work experience. And when I spoke to our CSR guys here, they said, Barry, we've got 5,000 people in our organization. We're a team of six. It sounds like an amazing idea, but you can accept that we don't have the resource to commit to developing something similar and enabling you to sign up to Prime. Which got me thinking, well, look, Slaughter and May are investing the time in working with a school. They've gone through a process of selecting students and they're going to find they're sufficiently bright to have a career in law. I think one of the key things with all of these schemes is that we're not simply ticking a box by working with kids from disadvantaged backgrounds. We're finding the kids that have the ability to practice as solicitors in the future. And Slaughter and May had gone through that process. They'd identified the socioeconomic starting point of these kids and equally their capability, and they're already working with them. I said, well, look, let's utilise that. Let's piggyback on that pre-existing infrastructure, and we can provide them with something else. We can give them a view from the bridge from an in-house counsel's point of view. And so we provided 3 additional days of the week that these students were already engaged in. And we had a really positive experience from that. I mean, there was 5 kids. It wasn't going to change the world, but it was definitely something which worked, which got to me to thinking, well, actually, there's something in this. Because we can't be the only in-house counsel wrestling with this issue that we've got the desire, but we don't have the infrastructure to participate in these sorts of schemes. So I started to talk to some of our other panel firms and also some other in-house counsel contacts that I had. And in 2014, the LSMP was born. So we brought on board Arnold Porter. We brought on board Allswang. We brought on board Bird & Bird. And with those law firms, we partnered them up with clients. So Bird & Bird had Yahoo, Microsoft were at Allswang, and Arnold Porter bought Viacom. So the idea being is that with that buddying up between client and law firm, each of those individual clients produced a day's worth of content for work insight and skills training. And one thing we were very keen to ensure that when the students came to us as in-house counsel, they saw the law in practice. It wasn't simply a bunch of people standing at the front telling these students what we did for a living and how we got there. It was actually immersing themselves in our world. So in the ITV day, the whole focus was around a mock program negotiation exercise. We set one group of students up to be the lawyers for the broadcaster. We set one group of students up to be the lawyer legal counsel for the talent, so the actors and actresses that we engage with on a daily basis. And we pulled together a hypothetical task based around a program we were looking to commission. And we then coached the students on negotiating tactics and strategies, and then set them off on that negotiation. And we then fed back to them what they did and what they didn't do well. But equally, within that, giving them some insight into real life situations which occurred. So when they walked away from the day at ITV, they knew what a lawyer at ITV did on a day-to-day basis in that particular aspect of our work. That worked great. Viacom, their day was focused around organising the MTV Europe Music Awards. And so the students were put in the position of being the CEO, the FD, the GC, and other students were in the role of being participants, whether they be artists right through to the logistical side of things in terms of setting up, the staging and the sound, et cetera, the broadcast rights. And by the end of the day, they had to come up with a plan and negotiate their way through the various contractual arrangements which bring together that event. So the great thing for us is that these students are walking away from this week. Not only did they see the business in context, they also saw it in an immersive way. And they walked away with four core blue chip businesses on their CVs, and importantly, four sets of experiences which they could refer to when they went to interview for, say, university or an apprenticeship, or later on for a training contract, whereby they could draw upon those experiences when they were asked those classic competency-based questions, say, show me a time when you showed leadership, work me through when you've come together as a team to solve a problem. Finally, they had something which had a wraparound of a wonderful brand attached to it to populate those answers. And I've personally come from a very similar background to a lot of the students we work with, and fortuitously I was good at rugby, and that was always my go-to when it came to those sorts of questions. And I think with this scheme, in my mind, it was always about how can I give kids like me, obviously I'm quite a bit old now, my rugby. And I saw the way in which we approached this, and it was accessible for the in-house council because they only had to produce a day. So it was going to be high quality because they focused on that. And equally, they were being supported by their panel firm. So it became a BD play for the panel firm. So it all had this happy coincidence of stitching together those 4 days, meant that the students walked away with them four amazing experiences from the brand name perspective and the anecdotes perspective. But equally, the panel firm and the client were much closer because over the period of 3 or 4 months of planning, it required a lot of interaction between the teams. And I always say, in terms of our funding model, far better to spend money on this scheme than spending money by putting your car behind the bar. You're going to have far greater engagement with your client and understanding by working together on a values-led proposal than simply getting drunk in a bar on a Friday night. And you're probably going to ask the question, well, what happened on the fifth day? Well, the fifth day, going back to my rugby, I learned a lot through playing semi-pro. Not least the concept of resilience and the psychology of goal achievement. And one of my good friends is now the CEO at Harlequins Rugby Club, who I played with a long time ago. And I spoke to him about accessing his sports psychologists to create a day-long programme where we took all the models that you utilise daily in the world of professional sport, but apply those models to the concept of a career in law. And actually, there's quite a large degree of read across, not least because there's a number of knockbacks you're going to suffer on your journey to being a qualified lawyer in the UK. It's highly competitive. So you will expect, you'll be very, very fortunate to experience some form of rejection at some stage of your career before qualification. So all the kind of key tools that we'll talk about, resilience when you're coming back from long-term injury, or you're looking to progress beyond your club side to represent your country, all of the tools that you're taught to deal with the knockbacks, which inevitably come in your career as a professional rugby player or professional footballer, whatever it may be in that arena. those tools are equally applicable. So we took those tools and we reshaped them so they're accessible for 17-year-olds. And we also looked at the whole concept of goal achievement. So again, I don't know how your viewers now au fait they are with that world, but broadly speaking, in sport, you work to a pyramidal model whereby you have your goal at the top of the pyramid and you work backwards until you get to the base of the pyramid, and you're down to what you're eating on Monday at 11 o'clock as part of your overall nutrition plan, side by side with your exercise conditioning plan, which when you aggregate all those things together equals success, which is breaking into the first team, say. So that's probably the longest monologue you're going to get from me. So hopefully that gives you, so you did ask the question.
No, and it was great. And it's great to see the partnership between big law and you know, big corporate clients in the UK. Just for our listenership, can you just explain what CSR is?
CSR is corporate social responsibility. It can be abbreviated to corporate responsibility. In the UK, generally speaking, larger organisations, be they law firms or companies, will have a dedicated team of individuals who are looking to ensure that the business is trading and operating in a responsible manner. So that goes the broad gamut of volunteering to ensuring diversity and inclusion, through to the environmental piece, ensuring that we are, you know, responsible business when it comes to environmental issues. So we have, say, six people in ITB who focus on that. And obviously the likes of Gowlings will subdivide CSR as a concept into different pockets, so D&I with Lorna. And then just to give a nod to you guys at Gowlings, you guys have been an amazing supporter of the LSMP. We started in 2014 with 20 students in London with that model I just described. We now sit here today in 2017 with over 300 students across seven different cities and towns in the UK. On one of the cornerstone cities in our first growth spurt was Birmingham, and Gowling stepped up to run that for us. And I'm incredibly grateful to Laura and Lorna and Amy and the team there for being so supportive and doing a lot of the hard yards. But the whole model is really dependent upon entities within the various cities owning it. We've created a format bible and a set of materials, and lawyers within my team act as effective consultants to entities coming onto the scheme, but it's very much a decentralized model to keep costs down. And Gowlings has stepped up and they're the cluster heads of Birmingham. These guys have brought in the likes of Aston Martin. We've brought in Barclays together. We've brought in Deutsche. And these are kind of stellar names. ITB ourselves, obviously based in Birmingham as well. We bought Wasps Rugby Club, who is currently sitting top of the Premiership. And that's through the network of contacts that we all sat down and worked out that we had, and aggregating that together so the students in Birmingham get an absolute stellar experience. But what I wanted to make sure is that once we got outside the capital, that the brand names weren't diminished. We were still talking about national recognisable brand names, which students could refer to on their CVs. And I think, you know, Norm and the team have done me proud in that regard.
That's fantastic. And I guess having those big brand names and the recognizable team names, it would get students excited and interested in the initiative initially, even to just decide to participate. As Roberto and I were talking about this, as neither of us really knew any lawyers or had any exposure to the legal profession prior to going to law school. And I definitely felt a bit like a fish out of water. So I think this type of initiative is great in terms of exposing young people, both to the idea of the opportunities that would be available, but also just to the type of people that would be practicing in that area. So I know it's grown substantially over the last couple of years. Where do you see this initiative going in the future? Do you think it will continue to grow, or do you see it expanding to different types of initiatives?
Well, just picking up on one point you make there, and a very similar situation to you guys in terms of not having any exposure to lawyers. My father's a mechanic and my mother was a teaching assistant, so our world wasn't populated by professionals. So I think with the scheme, it's really important that they do get exposure and they familiarise themselves in our world so they don't self-select themselves out of the career, nor simply because they don't think that people like them could become lawyers because they don't know anyone who's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then the benefit of the scheme is that they go to four different places of business and meet four different sets of lawyers. So they can't just write off one experience as being a one-off. And those people at Gowling, say, or those people at ITV, they were great, but everyone else must be weirdos or aliens. The fact that they've met so many different solicitors from private practice in-house should give them a gauge that actually we're all pretty normal people. Well, yeah. Everything's relative, I guess, in life. That it gives them that kind of concept that, you know, it's not a one-off, because I've met lots of different people in different contexts, and actually they're all pretty decent people. They're hardworking, they're bright, but I think there's a place in me here.
Yep, that's fantastic.
And in terms of your, going back to your question on growth, where do we see next? I mean, I think this model has it's proven that it can grow. It's sort of commoditized a lot of the way in which we do things. It's effectively a franchise model. I think for it to grow any further, we need to professionalize it. Ultimately, right now, the model as it stands doesn't have a paid for staff, doesn't have a budget. What it has is 70 other organizations all volunteering their time, and the lawyers within my teams at ITV dedicating and volunteering their time to coordinating efforts with the support of the likes of Gowlings or Squires and various other law firms and partners who have stepped up to be cluster heads in the city. I think the cluster head model will continue, but I think in terms of centralised services, we're going to need to kind of move that into something where we have secure funding. And with that regard, we are in some very exciting preliminary talks with the accountants about potentially expanding this model to fuse access to the world of law and accountancy. Because when we looked at the model and we had a chat with one of the big four, it's quite clear that what we're doing is we're looking at business through the lens of law, with the in-house team and the private practice team working in partnership to deliver those experiences. But what's to say we can just add in the finance department plus the statutory auditors and give students access to another profession at the same time? It doesn't require any greater effort. With the business games that I described remain the same, we simply have the layer of actually, before you even get to the stage whereby you're negotiating the agreement, how are you working out the budgets year on year, how are you then recognising this revenue in the accounts and the P&L and the like. And so therefore the wraparound of accountancy is quite an easy play. So for me, that's where I think we go to next, and the LSMP can move to be the Social Mobility Business Partnership, whereby we're fusing something which hasn't been done yet, which you think actually why hasn't it been done, because it's actually quite obvious. But I think it's only because historically in-house hasn't played a role in the space. It's mainly been led by private practice. But once you focus on business, there is a natural lead to say, well, actually, we can then bring the profession together, the professions together through the service providers that support them, be it the statutory auditor or the panel firm. So that's where I think it's where the next play is. And like I said, we're having some very exciting conversation in that regard.
And how can lawyers get involved in the program?
Lawyers can get involved by sticking their hands up and saying, I want to join. So anyone who wants to send me an email at barry.matthews@itv.com, we're welcome to hear from you. I mean, in terms of individual lawyers, the program isn't just the week. We have an alumni offering, which is three-prong, the quarter, which is our virtual coaching model. So every student that comes on our program has access to a network of solicitors across the UK who have been coordinated by a charity called Aspiring Solicitors. And the students on our scheme can access that group of 1,500 solicitors to ask questions about their CVs, personal statements, which is the supporting documentation that goes with their university applications. Equally, when they go beyond that stage in terms of their application forms and filling those in, because in those days they're incredibly voluminous, and plus preparation for interview, whether that be the university interview or actually latterly an interview for a training contract, which is the final stage of the qualification process here in the UK. So in terms of individual solicitors, we would urge them, if they want to get involved in the scheme, but their firm themselves can't get involved because they don't have the scope to do it, they can get involved by signing up to be a professional ambassador through Aspiring Solicitors and then being on call to effectively answer those queries. We looked long and hard at our alumni model, and we considered mentoring. I think mentoring is considered very, very difficult to get right, not least because it's the time that an individual needs to commit to ensure it's a meaningful relationship. Whereas the virtual coaching model, you're simply asking a solicitor on probably four or five occasions each year, we'll call upon you to donate effectively an hour or 2 hours of your time to assist a young person in the next step in their career. That's something which, as a solicitor, you know, we all have busy lives, is doable, as opposed to saying, look, over a 12-month period, can you dedicate 2 hours every month to discuss the career path of this individual? Mentoring is great if you can make it work, but it's incredibly hard to make it sustainable. So the virtual coach model I think is great, and it's a very easy way for solicitors who are listening to this can get involved. But equally, you guys in Canada, you know, I think this model has the ability to travel. So if there's any firms out there or in-house counsel listening to this who want to replicate the model, everything we've created we'll gladly give to you. There is no property and social benefit. So anything anybody would feel that they need to start this up in Canada or anywhere else for that matter, we'll be happy to give everything across and help you make it a reality.
Yeah, and Barry, we heard you loud and clear on that when you presented to us, and great to hear that sort of offered broadly. And you know, we're exploring it. It's such a great initiative. The results of 300 people, it just seems so mammoth. But you know, with everything in terms of corporate responsibility, social responsibility, it's, you know, one inch at a time. So certainly something we're looking at to see if there's a way to implement something similar, because it is a truly great initiative. So really great that you've spread that model, and hopefully it can spread internationally, you know, to Canada and beyond. Thank you very much for taking the time for being with us today, Barry.
No problem at all. It's an absolute pleasure. And again, a big thank you to you guys.